You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN Energy's daily blog, the oil and gas industry's go-to source for insight. Every day, we cover commodity fundamentals, industry changes, and developing trends across energy markets. And now, we're making it easier than ever to enjoy our blogs. Whether it's on your drive into work, while you're at the office, or at home walking the dog, settle in, turn the volume up, and enjoy.
Monday, September 14, 2020. Whirlwind. Permian oil and gas growth stalls as new pipes come online, altering market dynamics. Published by Housley Carr. A combination of new pipeline development, lower capex by producers, production shut-ins, and changing expectations for future production has significantly altered crude oil and natural gas market fundamentals in the all-important Permian Basin. Just over a year ago, Permian production was rising steadily and oil and gas pipelines out of West Texas were running at or near full capacity. Since then, nearly 2.2 million barrels per day of incremental crude takeaway capacity has come online, and production dropped by about 700,000 barrels per day before rebounding somewhat in recent weeks. As for gas, some takeaway constraints remain, but they are limited to when pipelines are offline for maintenance, and will be alleviated when new pipelines start operating in 2021. Today, we discuss the recent downs and ups in Permian production, takeaway capacity additions, and the resulting impacts on markets and market participants. As 2019 was drawing to a close 9 months ago, Permian producers knew that big changes would be coming in 2020. But they had no idea what they were in for. They expected steady increases in crude oil and natural gas production, driven by what was then $62 per barrel West Texas Intermediate, or WTI, and by rising demand for gas from a slew of new liquefaction LNG export facilities along the Gulf Coast. Producers also were confident that a trio of new crude pipelines from West Texas to the Corpus Christi area, Cactus II, Epic Crude, and Gray Oak would ease takeaway constraints out of the Permian, and that while it would take longer, gas takeaway constraints would be alleviated too as new Permian to Gulf Coast pipelines started up in 2020 and 2021. However, what they didn't anticipate was a global pandemic that would substantially slow economic activity in much of the industrialized world, especially the U.S., annihilate demand for jet fuel, motor gasoline, and, to a lesser degree, diesel, and spur the U.S. refinery sector to reduce their utilization rates to less than 70%. Nor could they predict that, just as stay-at-home orders were being implemented, Saudi Arabia would initiate an oil price war with Russia, though they later pulled back, or that WTI prices would actually go negative, if only for one day. And there's the gas side of things. Who would have guessed last New Year's Eve that U.S. LNG export volumes, which had been rising steadily since 2016, would fall by more than half in the first few months of 2020, causing a sharp drop in U.S. gas demand in the process? Don't forget that Permian producers, with their vast volumes of associated gas, have long been banking on the LNG export market to absorb a big share of their incremental gas output. Let's break this down, starting with crude oil, which is, after all, the primary focus of producers in the Permian. According to RBN's Crude Oil Permian Report, production in the play averaged 4.56 million barrels per day in December 2019, with almost one-tenth of that total, or 440,000 barrels per day, being consumed by refineries within or near the Permian, and the other 90% plus, or 4.12 million barrels per day, being transported out of the Permian, almost all of it on pipelines. Our forecast at the time was that Permian oil production would average 4.85 million barrels per day in 2020 and 5.23 million barrels per day in 2021. Then came COVID-19, refined product demand destruction, producer capex cuts, and springtime shut-ins. By May, crude oil production in the Permian had fallen to 4.06 million barrels per day, a 15% decline from March, and the rebound since then has been anemic and uneven, with production averaging 4.09 million barrels per day in June and 4.22 million barrels per day in July, before slipping to 4.14 million barrels per day in August. RBN's current forecast indicates that Permian production will stay close to flat for the foreseeable future, averaging only 4.21 million barrels per day in 2021. The pandemic's effects on Permian production have resulted in a widening gap between the volume of crude oil that needs to be piped out of the basin and the Permian's pipeline takeaway capacity. Through the latter half of the 2010s, the expectation that production would continue rising spurred the expansion of several existing pipes out of the Permian, as well as the development of a number of new ones. From mid-2017 through mid-2019, there was barely enough capacity in place to deal with all of the crude oil being produced in the Permian. As producers and shippers recall all too well, the struggle to find pipeline space for incremental production often widened the price differential between the hubs in Midland, Texas, Cushing, Oklahoma, and Houston, Texas. but takeaway constraints eased considerably last August, when Plains All American's 670,000 barrels per day Cactus II pipeline came online and EPIC Midstream started flowing up to 400,000 barrels per day of crude through its EPIC NGL pipeline on an interim basis, until its 600,000 barrels per day EPIC crude pipeline was finished in February 2020. Both Cactus II and EPIC run from the Permian to the Corpus Christi area, which in the past year has become the Gulf Coast's leading venue for crude exports, so does Phillips 66 and Enbridge's 900 million barrels per day Gray Oak pipeline, which further eased any remaining Permian takeaway constraints when it came online in April 2020. Even with the pullbacks in both actual Permian production and forecasted production in 2021 and beyond, still more pipeline capacity is on the way. We understand that Enterprise Products Partners is in the process of commissioning its Midland to Echo 3 project, which will add up to 450,000 barrels per day of capacity between Midland and the Houston area. Then in the second half of 2021, a joint venture that includes Plains and ExxonMobil plans to start operating the 650-mile, 1.5 million barrels per day Wink to Webster pipeline, which will transport Permian crude from the Wink and Midland areas in West Texas to Webster, Baytown, and Texas City, all of which are near Houston. Midland to Echo 3 is an element of the larger Wink to Webster project. Enterprise on September 9 announced the cancellation of its planned 450,000 barrels per day Midland to Echo 4 pipeline, which is separate from the Wink to Webster project. While the Permian clearly has, and will continue to have, considerably more pipeline takeaway capacity than it is likely to need, it's important to point out that most of the newer pipelines have minimum volume commitments, or MVCs, in place for much of their capacity. For example, ExxonMobil, which is both the leading Permian producer and the owner of a 561,000 barrels per day refinery in Baytown and a 362,000 barrels per day refinery in Beaumont, has an MVC in place for a substantial portion of the Wink to Webster project's capacity. So do project partners MPLX, a master limited partnership whose sponsor, Marathon Petroleum, owns the 585,000 barrels per day Galveston Bay refinery in Texas City, Delek US, another refinery owner, and Rattler Midstream, a subsidiary of Diamondback Energy, another leading Permian producer. The Permian's crude-focused wells also produce vast volumes of associated gas that must be processed and piped to market. As you'd expect, Permian gas production has been on a roller coaster very similar to the one crude's been riding. At the end of 2019, Permian gas production was averaging 11.56 BCF per day, according to RBN's Nat Gas Permian report, and our forecast at the time indicated that gas production there would rise to 12.24 BCF per day in the summer of 2020, 12.88 BCF per day in the winter of 2020 to 2021, and 13.38 BCF per day in the summer of 2021. With the well shut-ins this past spring, Permian gas production averaged only 10.42 BCF per day in May 2020, or 13% less than in February, and production this summer is expected to average only 11.14 BCF per day. As for what's ahead, RBN now forecasts that production will actually decline slightly this winter to 11.01 BCF per day, then inch up to 11.08 BCF per day in the summer of 2021. In a phrase, close to flat. Of the roughly 11.1 BCF per day currently being produced in the Permian, about 1.1 BCF per day is consumed within the basin, leaving about 10 BCF per day that needs to be piped out to other regions, including the Gulf Coast, the Mid-Continent, the Southwest, and Mexico. Unlike the situation with Permian crude, whose pipeline takeaway concerns have largely been addressed by new pipelines, there are still gas takeaway issues in the basin, especially when one or more key gas pipelines are offline for maintenance. Maintenance outages aside, takeaway constraints eased somewhat in the fourth quarter of 2019 and Kinder Morgan, DCP Midstream, and Targa Resources 1.98 BCF per day Gulf Coast Express, or GCX, came online between West Texas and the Agua Dulce gas hub in South Texas. Two new gas pipelines will further improve the situation. They are Kinder Morgan and Eagle Claw Midstream Partners 2.1 BCF per day Permian Highway Pipeline, or PHB, which is slated to begin operating in the first quarter of 2021, and MPLX, Whitewater Midstream, Stonepeak Infrastructure Partners, and West Texas Gas's 2 BCF per day Whistler Pipeline, whose startup will follow in the third quarter of next year. With GCX online, there is now about 11 BCF per day of pipeline capacity out of the Permian, when both PHP and Whistler are up and running next, that will increase to more than 15 BCF per day, or some 4 BCF per day more than forecasted production levels. That should eliminate all takeaway constraints well into the future and shift incremental Permian gas outflows to the Gulf Coast markets. The bottom line is that COVID-19 and the oil price crash this spring not only undid market expectations for continued, uninterrupted growth in Permian oil and gas production, that accelerated the easing of pipeline constraints that had long troubled the basin and its producers. And remaining constraints will likely be eased further over the next year or so as the last of the new pipelines that were planned pre-pandemic come online. What's still far from clear, however, is how long the current demand and supply forecasts will hold up, and what else 2020 holds for us in the months ahead. A version of this blog is being published by our friends at American Oil and Gas Reporter. Whirlwind was written by David Kelly, and was recorded at Sun Studios in Memphis by Charlie Rich in 1958. Released in August of that year, the rollicking, piano-driven rockabilly song would be Rich's first single on the Sun label. It appeared as the second song on Rich's first Sun album, Lonely Weekends, which was released in 1960. Sun Records owner Sam Phillips said that Rich had the potential to be the next Elvis, and used Rich as a piano player for quite a few sessions at Sun. The song Lonely Weekend became a top 30 single for Rich in 1960, but it was the only success he had while at the label. Rich later claimed that he never received a royalty check from Sun while he was employed there. Charlie Rich was an American country music singer, songwriter, and musician. Under the tutelage of producer Billy Sherrill at Epic Records in Nashville, Rich started focusing his music more on the country-politan ballad sounds coming out of Music City in the early 1970s. Then nicknamed the Silver Fox because of his graying hair, Rich hit it big with two consecutive number one singles in 1973, Behind Closed Doors and The Most Beautiful Girl. Charlie Rich released 12 studio albums, 11 compilation albums, and 41 singles. He had 10 number one country singles during his career and won 3 Academy of Country Music Awards, 3 American Music Awards, 5 Country Music Association Awards, and 2 Grammy Awards. Rich died in July 1995 at the age of 62.
This has been the RBN Energy Blogcast. Thanks for listening.